Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Continuing with the seventh verse of Adi Lila 1, which is repeated as the seventh verse in Adi Lila chapter 7. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Sankarshan, Sheshanag, and the Vishnus who lie in the Karna ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as a seventh of the first 14 invocation verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Ganatana Mandasya Ganajana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Most of the information and realizations regarding Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and precepts are due to the inspiration of Lord Nityananda. It was Lord Nityananda who personally revealed the pastimes within the heart of Vrindavan Das Thakur, which he penned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It was Lord Nityananda who was the inspiration for Raghunath Das to take shelter of Swarup Damodar and Lord Gauranga. It was Lord Nityananda who directed Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to go to Vrindavan, where he would attain all things. And it was Lord Nityananda who led Narottam Das Thakur to the Padma to receive the treasure of divine love, which had been invested in that river by Lord Chaitanya, with the instruction that Padmadevi return that treasure to Narottam Das Thakur at the appropriate time. So this is consistent with our previous talks regarding the necessity of having some understanding of the pastimes and precepts of both Lord Nityananda and Sri Advaitacharya before delving deeply into the pastimes and precepts of Lord Chaitanya as recorded here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadvaitam Sabadutam Paditana Sahita Sri Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Sadvaitam means obeisances to all Vaishnavas headed by Advaitacharya. Sabadutam means Lord Nityananda, who is considered an avadut sannyasi, though he never formally adopted the sannyasa order. Avaduta means the pure ones, usually associated with the Shaivite tradition, though there is also a little known branch of Vaishnava sannyasis known as Turiyat Avadutas, as described in the Upanishads, who are divinely eccentric at peace with the world, indifferent to pain and sorrow, and marked by a pronounced disregard for rules and regulations, divisions of caste observation. And Lord Nityananda was sometimes so erratic that people would literally run at the sound of his holy name. And even Sri Advaita Acharya jokingly referred to him as a natural madman, because he was always mad in ecstatic love for Lord Gauranga. Lord Nityananda appeared in Eka Chakra to Hriday Pandit in Padmavati, who were Brahmins of the Shandilya Gotra, Shandilya Muni being the guru of Nanda Maharaj and resident of Govardhan, who was intricately involved with Maharaj Parikshit and Vajra, revealing the lost glories of Brajadham, which had been covered over since the time of Krishna's departure from this world. Hriday Pandit was, as his name suggests, well-versed in Shastra and a great devotee. And Padmavati was very devout. And they were happy in all respects, except that they did not have a son. And Padmavati would pray to the Lord and give alms and observe fasts for the attainment of a son. And one night, a Mahatma with a tall and lustrous body and long matted hair appeared to her in a dream and said, "Do not worry. You will soon have as your son a Mahapurusha possessing unlimited Shakti, who will deliver thousands of sinners from bondage." Now, keep this prophecy in mind, because it becomes very relevant later when the mystery sannyasi is asking Hriday Pandit for his son in charity. And they understood that that would cost them their lives, but they reflected on this prophecy that your son will deliver thousands of sinners from bondage. So this prophecy came true in 1473, when their son was born. And went by the name, sometimes by the name Kuvera, and especially later, Nityananda. The child was golden in complexion, and his beauty unparalleled. From his eyes and face, it was obvious that transcendental bliss always reigned in his heart. And as he grew, it became apparent that even though he had a human-like form, he was yet divine. He did not play like the ordinary children. He collected all the boys of his age and performed Krishna Lila right from the initial assembly of the gods on the shore of the Milk Ocean, which took place at the shore of that Kund in Eka Chakra. And one of the boys up in the tree answered the Deva's praying on the shore that, don't worry, soon I will appear in this world. They performed every major leela in great detail of Krishna's pastimes, you know, from the demigods praying to Kiradakshay Vishnu, to the marriage of Vasudeva and Devaki, successive, and, you know, the killing of the demons. And Nityananda was not only the major actor, he was the director. He gave everybody their lines, their roles, and explained in exquisite detail the moods, the pastimes. And they also perform Ramlila and the pastimes of other avatars. Krishna Lila was prominent, and Ramlila was especially emotional. And people were so surprised to see that at his age, this was before he had even learned the alphabet, and no one had instructed or informed him of the lila of all these avatars. And they had a glimpse into his true personality as Balaram once, when he was playing the part of Lakshman in Ram Lila, when he became so entranced that he fell unconscious upon Ravana's hurling that powerful missile, leaving him unconscious for several hours. And this created so much anxiety that the boys forgot their parts. News reached their parents, and they all ran to the scene. And everybody else was about to fall unconscious and give up their lives, when one of the boys, who was playing the part of Hanuman, was reminded, remember, Lord Nityananda really emphasized before the drama began that when he falls unconscious, don't be bewildered, just bring the Sanjeevani Bhuti, the life-saving herb. He was reminded by Ram, Hanuman was. And then he ran off and brought some herbs, held them before Lord Nityananda's nostrils, and it restored his consciousness, much to the delight of everyone, and also their perplexity. That how does he know these pastimes, which he's never even heard, in such detail? And they asked him, and he said, this is my divine lila. I'm simply revealing it to you. And they laughed, not understanding the import and the truth of his words. So as the son of a pundit, Nitai was admitted into the Sanskrit Academy, where at the age of 12, he had become so proficient in Sanskrit grammar, Vyakarana, as well as Nyaya, logic, that the pundits honored him with the title, Crest Jewel of Nyaya. But education made him consider the futility of the world and the path that would lead to eternal peace and joy. And his parents were alarmed to see his total indifference to everything that was worldly. And at this time, as if by divine arrangement, a mystery sannyasi came to Hudai Pandit's house. He was tall and lustrous, and Hedaya Pandita Padmavati offered obeisances to him and requested that he stay the night at their house, to which he readily agreed. They served him well and spent the night absorbed in Krishna Katha. And the next day, when he was about to leave, Hedaya Pandit asked, "Can I offer you anything in charity?" He said, "Yes, but you must first promise to give what I ask." And that made Hedaya Pandit very uneasy. He said, "I will comply with your request." And the sannyasi said that, "I am on a long pilgrimage. I'm going to all the major holy places. And I need a boy like yours, like your son, to assist me. He will benefit from pilgrimage. I will benefit from his assistance. And you will be blessed as well as he." And they were so stunned to hear this. They reflected that if we give him our dear son, his separation will surely mean our death. And if we did not, the indignation of the sannyasi will mean doom, not only for this life, but for the next as well. They did not know what to do. And they began to deliberate as the dark clouds of despondency and despair descended upon them. Then a ray of divine light burst forth in their hearts, which were already surrendered to the will of the Lord. And they were reminded of the episode in which Nitai had become Lakshman. And they reflected, they remembered the prophecy of the Mahapurusha, who revealed that their son would deliver thousands of sinners from bondage. And they felt that what was happening was the will of the Lord for some higher purpose. And then Hedaya Pandit realized that by divine arrangement, I have become Dasarath, and my son is Ram. And his departure from home will cost me my life. They fell at the feet of the sannyasi with tears in their eyes and throats choked up with emotion, and expressed their willingness to turn over Nitai to his shelter. So Nitai accompanied the sannyasi on his pilgrimage from one holy place to another. After some years, that sannyasi departed this world, and Nitai continued on pilgrimage by himself until he reached Vrindavan, where his heart overflowed with love for Krishna. And he would wander in search of Krishna through the forests, gardens, and arbors of Vrindavan, in a state of divine madness, sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, often rolling on the ground, crying out, "Ha Krishna," and falling unconscious. Now, he had wandered to all the holy places searching for Krishna. And even in Vrindavan, it was separation that was prominent. And this will come up again later. At this time, Sri Advaitacharya and Srila Madhavendra Puri also arrived in Vrindavan. And they saw Nitai rolling on the ground, crying, "Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna," without any outward consciousness, while tears profusely flowed from his eyes, and they wondered who this man could be, young man, whose face radiated transcendental light, and it was so deeply immersed in the ocean of Krishna Prem that the astrasaptaka bhavas adorned every part of his body. And when Nitai regained outward consciousness, he saw Madhavendra Puri, who looked at him steadfastly for some time. Gazing upon one another, they were both drowned in Krishna Prem, each drawn closer to the other, and found himself lost in the other's embrace. After spending some time with Madhavendra Puri in Krishna Katha, absorbed in Krishna Katha, Nitai again set out on pilgrimage. And when he arrived in Pandharpur, he met Madhavendra Puri's guru, Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was a very exalted Balaram Bhakta and experienced frequent and intense dreams in which Lord Balaram would visit him. And one night, Lord Balaram came to him in the land of his dreams and told him that a young and great ascetic boy will come to you tomorrow morning, and he will beg diksha from you. By all means, give him initiation with this mantra. And then Balaram spoke the initiation mantra into the ears of Lakshmipati Tirtha. And the next morning, Nitai arrived at his door and begged, please initiate me with that mantra. So Balaram initiated Lakshmipati Tirtha, who initiated Nitai. And at that point, Lord Nityananda's Krishna Prem increased 1,000-fold, and he really became an avadut, so intoxicated with Krishna Prem. And he continued on this pilgrimage to Ranganath, Rameshwaram, Nilachala, Ganga Sagar, and other holy places, searching for Krishna everywhere, and yet unable to find him anywhere. Then he returned to Vrindavan, where he remained deep in the ocean of bhava, unconscious of his body and bodily needs. He neither slept nor ate. If someone gave him milk, he would drink, otherwise he would simply fast. All the time crying out, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna, and weeping so piteously that it seemed to rend the sky. While in Vrindavan, Nitai understood that Sri Gauranga had manifest himself in the mood of a devotee and initiated the Sankirtan movement in the house of Srivas Thakur. And the calling of Nityananda resounded in Lord Gauranga's heart. And occasionally, while singing and dancing in kirtan, Mahaprabhu would cry out, Ha Balaram, He Dauji. And Nityananda felt the inspiration that his brother Kanhai had appeared in Navadvip. And it was the appropriate time for him to join him. So intoxicated with Gaur Prem and swinging to and fro like a mad elephant, Nityananda set out for Navadvip, sometimes crying, sometimes laughing, sometimes imagining in his madness that Gauranga was with him and indulging and loving talks with him. And like an avadut wearing blue cloth, which reminded him of Krishna, and Tulsi beads around his neck, Kundala in one ear, and ankle bells on his feet, dancing and swaying in bhava, he illumined the path with his divine luster on the way to Navadvipa. And reaching there, he did not directly go to Gauranga. Sportive and funny as he was, playing hide and seek in the house of Nandanacharya, he hid. And that night, Mahaprabhu saw in a dream that Nitai had come. And the next day, when he came to Srivas Thakur's house, he told his associates that last night I had a dream. A tall Mahapurusha, the very image of resplendent beauty, came to my house in a heavenly chariot. He had a club on his shoulder and a water pot in his left hand. And he was drunk with divine love. And he kept asking over and over, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? I have never seen a Mahapurusha so beautiful and so intoxicated with love. So I asked who he was. And he simply smiled and replied, don't you recognize me? Don't you know that I'm your brother? Soon enough we will meet. And Mahaprabhu continued, I truly felt that he is my brother. And as Mahaprabhu talked about his dream, he became so possessed with the bhav of Balaram that he lost outer consciousness and began to shout, bring me wine, bring me wine. And the devotees were scared. But he kept saying it, bring me wine, bring me wine. And Srivas Pandit, who was wise, understood. And he told him, Prabhu, the wine you want to drink is yours. And it is only when you give it out that anyone can have it. Then when the bhav of Balaram subsided, Mahaprabhu said with a smile, 2 days earlier, I told you that a Mahapurusha was about to visit Navadvipa. He has now arrived. And he looked at Srivas and Haridas and asked them, go, search him out and bring him to me. They went and they searched everywhere. But they couldn't find him. How could they? Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that Nityananda is too difficult to be seen or understood or recognized until he reveals himself. He alone can see him to whom Lord Gauranga reveals him. Therefore, Mahaprabhu himself led the devotees to find Nityananda. And as he danced along the path, singing Krishna Nam with his arms raised to the sky, maddened with love, because he was going to meet his brother, from whom he had been so long separated, the tears were flowing from his eyes, and his arms were restless to embrace his brother. And without looking to either side, he went straight to Nandanacharya's house. And Mahaprabhu led the devotees in offering respectful obeisances to Nityananda, whose glance was fixed upon his brother Mahaprabhu. And it looked like the two brothers gazing upon one another were drinking their beauty with their eyes. And Mahaprabhu was shedding tears of love. They both were. And speechless and stunned. The devotees looked from Nitai to Mahaprabhu, each stupefied, shedding tears of love for the other. Mahaprabhu asked Srivas by a gesture to break the silence and make the real personality of Nityananda manifest. Srivas understood the gesture and he began to sing that shloka from the 10th canto, which describes the beauty of Krishna returning from the forest with his companions after pasturing the cows. Srimad Bhagavatam sings, echoed in the songs of Srivas Thakur, glorifying Krishna. He wears a peacock feather in his hair, ornaments of karnika flowers on his ears, yellow cloth on his body, and a Vaijayanti garland around his neck. He comes in the garb of a dancer, playing his flute, followed by his friends, who are glorifying him by singing songs in his praise. Vrindavan, which surpasses Vaikuntha in beauty and sweetness, has now become even more beautiful on account of his footprints. Hearing this shloka from the lips of Srivas Thakur, Nityananda fell unconscious. And Mahaprabhu asked Srivas to keep chanting the same verse, which brought Nityananda back to consciousness. He stood up and began to roar like a lion and dance like an elephant, a drunken elephant. And with each roar, he jumped high. And the devotees were afraid that when he came crashing back down to the ground, he would break his bones. But who could check the tide of praying rising in his heart? Mahaprabhu was standing aside, watching with tears streaming from his eyes. And then he extended his arms to embrace Nitai and take him into his lap, which made Nitai as calm as a child in the lap of his mother. And lying in Mahaprabhu's lap, he gazed into his eyes without blinking, as if to say to him that he had already surrendered his heart and soul, and now he was surrendering his body, which made him feel completely relieved of all separation and anxiety. Lying in the lap of his brother Kanhai and drinking the nectar of the beauty of his face, Nityananda entered Ananda Samadhi. And after some time, when he regained consciousness, he stood up. And Mahaprabhu glorified him, saying, "Today I am blessed to see the image of bhakti, the essence of the four Vedas, standing before me. And I believe that you are the complete Shakti of Bhagavan, by whom the jivas attain bhakti by your glance and your grace, and you are too difficult to understand, being unknown and unknowable." Nityananda simply smiled to hear his praise. Mahaprabhu always tried to conceal his own divinity, and it was in his humility as a devotee that Lord Gauranga praised Nityananda. But how could Nitai remain without manifesting his true personality? He called out, "O Mahaprabhu, I know you are. I know you. You are the same Kanhai. But who did you give your black color to and your yellow clothes and your flute? So sweet. Why did you leave Vrindavan and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj to come to Navadvip as the son of Sachi and Jagannath Mishra?" And what could Mahaprabhu say? He held his head down and tried to touch the feet of Nitai, but Nitai would not let him do so. Nitai tried to catch the feet of Lord Gauranga, and the two brothers began wrestling. And no one lost, and no one won. They clasped each other in their arms, and Nitai explained what he had experienced on his long pilgrimage. He said, "I went all around the world searching for you, but everywhere I went, even in Vrindavan, the altars were empty. And I asked everyone, 'Where has Krishna gone?' And some good people told me, 'He's gone to Navadvip, where even the most fallen can attain deliverance. So now I've come to be delivered, and now I have found the thief. And where will you go from here?'" So Mahaprabhu took Nitai to Sri Vasangam, because the next day was Vyas Puja. So he began the Adivas Kirtan that night. Nitai and Gaur danced in Kirtan, the devotees dancing around them. Nitai and Gaur are mad in love for each other, and the devotees mad in love for them. And Nitai Gaur lost all outward consciousness, drunk with love. And the earth seemed to tilt and shake under the dancing of their lotus feet. Dancing with Balaram in the form of Nitai, Mahaprabhu was possessed with the bhava of Balaram. And he roared loudly and did something he would seldom do, but sometimes when he was unconscious of his own identity, he would sit on the altar of Vishnu. And he told Nitai, "Get me my plow and club." And Nitai extended his hands to hand over the hala and musala, and Mahaprabhu extended his hands to receive them. And it was only the devotees who were close to Mahaprabhu and enjoyed his favor who could see the actual exchange of the plow and the club, while others saw only the movement of their empty hands. And after taking the plow and club from Nitai, Mahaprabhu became so animated with the bhava of Balaram, he again began to shout, "Varuni, Varuni." And the devotees looked at each other in bewilderment. He's doing it again. He's demanding we give him wine. What to do? Once again, the ingenious Srivas Thakur brought a pitcher full of Ganga water and placed it before Mahaprabhu, and he drank it happily, after which he became so intoxicated that it appeared as if he had actually drunk Varuni. And he began to distribute the Ganga water to all the devotees as prasad. And they all became drunk and began to sing the praise of Balaram. So we hear repeatedly that Nityananda Tattva is too difficult to understand, and that Mahaprabhu performed this leela only with the purpose, not only, mainly with the purpose of revealing who Nitai is, as non-different from Balaram. And when the surge of emotion subsided at last, Mahaprabhu asked the devotees, what happened to me? Did I do anything wrong? And the devotees said, no, nothing wrong. And Nitai was so entranced to see this lila of Mahaprabhu. He sometimes laughed, sometimes cried, and sometimes danced like a child. And it was only Mahaprabhu who could make him calm down. And Nitai, from here on, as long as he remained in Navadvip, stayed in the house of Srivas, accepting Srivas Thakur and Malini Devi as his parents. So Nitai did not sleep that night. He was still in great ecstasy. And in the dead of night, he rose and took his danda and kamandalu and broke them. In the morning, when Ramai Pandit went to his room, he was taken aback to see the pieces of the danda and kamandalu lying on the ground. He informed Srivas, who told Mahaprabhu, who came, and seeing Nitai roaring with laughter, Mahaprabhu picked up the broken pieces of the danda and kamandalu and went with Nitai to the Ganga and threw the pieces into the river. Nityananda became jubilant, began to dance, seeing the broken pieces of his danda flowing away with the current. And he too plunged into the river and began to swim. And then he saw one of his favorite toys, a crocodile, swimming in the river, and began to chase him, to catch him by the tail. And the devotees were so alarmed, and they called, Nitai, come back, come back. And he disregarded all the devotees, and he told Mahaprabhu, he'll only listen to you. And Lord Gauranga shouted, Sripad, come. It is time for your Vyas Puja. Do not delay. And the voice of Mahaprabhu is like the rod which controls an elephant and brought Nityananda under control. So, why did Nityananda break his danda? He did the same thing for Mahaprabhu when they entered Puri. And why did he feel so happy after breaking it? And why didn't Mahaprabhu reprimand him for this? Why did he throw his Ganga into the Ganga, throw his danda into the Ganga? Perhaps Nityananda thought, what's the use of sannyas when he'd already found Krishna in the form of Lord Gauranga, the purpose for whom he had taken sannyas in the first place? And in his state of advanced prem, he thought that neither the danda nor the kamandalu are necessary now. So then the devotees returned to Srivas Thakur's house for Vyas Puja. And Srivas was a presiding priest. He had Nityananda sit on the asan, and acting as acharya, at the insistence of Mahaprabhu, Srivas started the puja. And Mahaprabhu started kirtan. And when the puja was over, Srivas gave a garland to Nityananda and told him, offer this garland to Vyasadeva so that he may be happy and help us to attain our desired goal. Nityananda took the garland and began to look around, as if looking for someone, and muttering something which no one could understand, Srivas kept telling him, offer the garland to Srila Vyasadeva. And Nitai kept saying, yes, yes, yes. And he just stood there. So Srivas, he had to go to Mahaprabhu and said, come see what your Sripad is doing. He's not offering the garland. Mahaprabhu came and told Nitai, Sripad, offer the garland to Vyasadeva and complete the puja. At which Nityananda stood up, began to dance happily, and placed the garland around the neck of Mahaprabhu. As the devotees shouted, Mahaprabhu ki jai, and thus compelled by Nityananda, Mahaprabhu manifests his sadbhuja form, holding in his six hands the conch shell, disc, Sudarshan chakra, the club, the lotus, the plow, and the pestle, which is the form of the club in Vrindavan. And Nitai fell unconscious to see that sadbhuja form. And Mahaprabhu began to roar and dance, clapping his hands. And after his bhava subsided, he caressed Nityananda fondly and said, get up, Nityananda. Attend the kirtan for which you have incarnated. And what more do you want? If you want to distribute prema bhakti, then do it. It's your treasure. You can give it to whomsoever you like, and no one can receive it without your grace. The one favored by you is favored by me. The one who does not enjoy your favor is not well disposed towards you. On regaining consciousness, Nitai began to look at Mahaprabhu with tears of love streaming down his cheeks. And Mahaprabhu embraced him again, and both began to sing and dance. Next day, Mahaprabhu took Nitai to his house, and he introduced him to Mother Sachi. Look, Mata, I have brought back my elder brother Vishwaroop. And as Mother Sachi looked upon Nityananda, she said with joyful surprise, yes, you did. He looks exactly like my Vishwaroop. And she said to Nityananda, are you really my long-lost son, Vishwaroop, come home? And Nitai said, yes, Mata, I am your son, Vishwaroop. Mother Sachi hugged him close to her heart, kissed him and bathed him with her tears. Then she said, my son, why did you turn so cruel and run away from home to make me weep for so long? Anyway, now that you've come back, like a good son, take care of your mad Nimai. My anxiety is now over. Nimai was like a madman, but Nitai excelled even Nimai in madness. Drunk with the wine of love, he lived at Srivas's house like a child. He called Srivas Baba, father, and Malini, Mata, mother. And like the fond child of his parents, he would sometimes be obstinate, sometimes angry, or joyful over some trifle. So at this time, Nitai is in his 30s and Malini in her 70s. And when he sat in her lap, she would feed him. And he wouldn't eat anything unless she fed him. So once in the courtyard of Srivas, or Nitai was in the courtyard, and Malini was in the temple room, and a crow flew in and stole the ghee pot, the ghee lamp, used in the service of the deity. And Malini began to cry. And Nityananda could not bear to see or hear this. So he calls out to the crow, "Brother crow, come and give back that lamb, and I will feed you." And sure enough, the crow returned, dropped off the lamb, and Nitai gave him some crumbs of prasad in return. And then Mauni, remembering the original form of Nityananda as Sankarshan, began to sing the praise of Sankarshan. "Oh, my Lord, you support infinite Brahmanandas on your head as Shesh. You destroy the entire family of Ravana as Lakshman. You drew Kalindi near you with your plow. And you brought back the son of your guru, Sandipani Muni, alive from Yamaloka." So getting back my ghee lamp is really simply a trifle for you. So Nitai was very simple, unassuming, and sportive as a child. And he played with the other children like one of them. And then one night, actually early in the morning hours, at the end of night, Mother Sachi told Nimai that, "I had a wonderful dream early this morning." And Nimai asked, "What was it?" And she said, "I saw you and Nityananda, both about 5 years old, fighting with each other, and the two of you went into the temple room and came out holding the deities of Krishna and Balaram, Nitai holding Krishna and you holding Balaram, and then all four of you began fighting right in front of me. Balaram and Krishna became angry with you and chastised you, hypocrites. Who are you two? Why have you come here? This is not your house. Get out of here. Don't you know that this house, the milk and Sandesh and everything, is ours?" And Nitai said, "Oh, those days of cowherd boys are gone. The days when you were cowherd boys are gone. Those days when you stole milk and butter. Now it's not the cowherds who rule, but the brahmanas. So you better leave here and leave all these offerings for us. Otherwise, we will beat you up." And this made Balaram angry, and he roared out, "Hypocrites, I will bind you both. I swear by Krishna, I will." And Nityananda said, "I'm not afraid of your Krishna. My Lord is Sri Gaurachandra." And they just kept fighting and grabbing prasad from each other's hands. In the midst of all this fighting, Nitai called out to me, "Mata, I'm hungry. Please give me something to eat." Which made me wake up immediately, but I don't understand what this dream means. Mahaprabhu said, "Mata, that was a beautiful dream. Our deities are very interactive and personal." Then he pretended to become very grave. And in a low tone, he told Mother Sachi, "I will tell you a secret. Every day, after offering the boga to the deities, half the boga is gone." And I was wondering, who was eating the offering? And I suspected that it was your daughter-in-law who secretly ate half the offering. This is really something we shouldn't speak about. And Vishnupriya, eavesdropping from the next room, began laughing shyly. And this is what Srila Prabhupada referred to, that Lord Gauranga was so strict that there's only one time he ever joked with a woman, and that was his wife. And this is the incident. So Nimai said, well, let's not talk about this anymore. My doubt is removed after hearing your dream. I no longer suspect Vishnupriya. Now I know that it's actually the deity's offering, eating their own offering. But there's another part to this dream, which is very important. It means that Nityananda is hungry and he asks you to feed him. So I'm going to invite him. Then Nimai ran over to Srivas Pandit's house. While Vishnupriya started cooking, Mahaprabhu came back with Nitai. They both sat down to take prasad, and Satchimata placed a plate before each of them and was surprised to see that now there's three plates instead of two. But then her surprise increased when she saw in place of Gornitai two little children, 5 years old, both naked, one white, the other blue. Both had four arms. One had in his arms the plow and pestle. The other had on his chest a kastuba jewel, and Vishnupriya sat by their side, and Mother Sati fell unconscious. Why did the Lord perform this lila? He wanted Mother Sati to understand that through him, through her, the whole world, that Krishna, Balaram, and Gaur Nitai are the same personality, the same tattva, and different only in lila. And also to understand that Vishnupriya is Lord Gauranga's Shakti, always residing in his heart. And the third plate was for her. The main purpose, Vrindavan Das Thakur emphasizes, was to fill her heart with bhakti, which was obvious. I mean, astasataka bhavas that appeared on her body after she regained consciousness. Our time is up. I learned today that Madri is the, what was that word? Madri?
Yes, I'm a timekeeper. At least I'm trying to, I will try.
That's something novel.
So, thank you so much for
Jesus.
Thank you very much. So, what we will do, we are going to start the next session next Saturday with questions and answers. I see. We will have dessert in the beginning. Okay, I don't think I can. Let me.
Or I can send it to you and you can.
Is it okay, Maharaj, for one question? A little.
No.
One little question.
One, and I will make sure. Yeah, one. Go ahead, Sid.
Okay. Maharaj, in Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse, I think it's 128, it's Srila Prabhupada says that Madhavendra Puri is the guru, you know. Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by Madhavendra Puri. And then he makes another statement saying, you know, others say Lakshmipati. I just wanted some elaboration and on that. And I understand it might not be a short answer. So you can pick and choose if you want an answer now or next time.
Well, that's a wonderful question. And thank you for posing that. The simple answer is that Lakshmipati Tirtha was quite elderly when Lord Nityananda took initiation from him. So he left this world shortly thereafter, at which point his disciple Madhavendrapuri became the disciple, the guru of Lord Nityananda. The other thing to consider in this context is Srila Prabhupada's statement that there is hardly a trace of ecstatic love in the Madhva Sampradaya until the time of Madhavendrapuri. And at that time, the Sampradaya was flooded with ecstatic love of Krishna. Now, you know that whenever there was such a dramatic change in the Sampradaya, Balaram must be integrally involved. And he was. So by taking initiation from Lakshmipati Tirtha, Nitai became the agent who facilitated this dramatic change from practically no trace of ecstatic love to a total inundation of ecstatic love by the intercession of Lord Balaram, by taking initiation from Lakshmipati Tirtha, after which Madhavendrapuri was his Siksha Guru. And Lord Nityananda saw them as basically the same person, Lakshmipati Tirtha and Madhavendrapuri, in terms of being his beloved Guru Maharaj. Thank you for that question. It's a wonderful topic. And we will continue next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.